So this is where they keep the illegal aliens, huh?
Oh, welcome, officers.
Welcome to the guys who stood around while people threw hockey pucks at us?
You're gonna come up here talking all that make America great crap, you're bound to catch a face full of Canadian tomato.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
So what are you going to do here? Go for the hat trick?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know. Yeah, I win now and sometimes I lose. I've been battered, but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight, everybody. Great guest with us tonight. I'm super excited to talk to our guest tonight because she's got a heck of a career going, both on and off the ice. Career for on the ice might have slowed down a little bit, but the off the ice is certainly keeping her busy. Jenna, how are you doing? How's everything going with you?
Oh, it's going busy lately, but I mean, it's been nice out the last couple of days, so that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, you know, school and everything wrap it up for you as well. So hopefully everything's going well on that front for you. I know, you know, you the midterm, so hopefully the finals are coming up. And
I'm long done my finals. Oh, I'm on a spring courses now, even better.
Oh, even better then. Yeah. So
yeah.
Well, we don't want to waste too much time tonight because we got a lot to go over with our guests. So let's get into this because it isn't often we get to visit with and interview a person who has done a first so recently on our show. But it's a thrill to speak to our guest today because that first this person has accomplished was, in our humble view, long overdue. If you're a hockey fan, this woman seemingly has done it all. She was a great player with the PWHL Ottawa Lady Sens and the Sacred Heart High School Huskies before starring for five seasons on the East Coast in the AUS as a forward with the Mount Allison Mounties, where she served as captain for the final two seasons. She graduated with her degree before going back for one more season with the Mounties to finish her fifth year of eligibility, where she also got to do a little bit of work in front of the camera through the Mounties and volunteering with Eastlink Telecommunications. Since then, she's become a popular figure on TV in Halifax, and she became the first woman to ever call a QMJHL game a couple of months ago when we had, I don't know how many times we talked about it here on this show, but certainly she got to see all the action between Charlottetown and Halifax in that game. Called it like a pro, might I add. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, pleased to welcome Miss Kenzie Lalonde to the program. Kenzie, how's it going?
Guys, what an intro. I'm like blushing. I wish everyone could see me. I'm like hiding.
we have a pretty good appreciation for people that are going out there and smashing through ceilings. So yeah, we're excited to talk to you. And certainly you've done a ton. So
yeah, it's crazy to think the journey I've had and like just listening to, I'm like, wow, I have really gotten older, I think is the word I'd probably use now. I feel like I don't even know how to really skate anymore. I just talk about it for a living.
That's okay. You're doing okay on that side. How's everything going with the lockdown at Nova Scotia as well? I mean, I know you guys have been locked down for a few weeks now. How's everything going for you out there?
Well, yeah, we were all peaches and cream for a while. Like poor Ontario had gone back into like a red zone, and I'm originally from Ottawa, so I felt really bad for my family. And during that time here on the East Coast, especially in Nova Scotia, things were opening up. I was going to the gym every day. You could go to restaurants. And then, you know, it all came crashing down. So we're in about, yeah, midway of our 4-week lockdown here. So no gyms, no restaurants. It's been tough. But I mean, what's nice about our East Coast side is we get that ocean front. So you can head out to the beach and still get some fresh air. So they encourage us to go outside. And I've been doing that. I consider myself quite the hiker now, guys. So I'd never thought I'd be one, but
there you go.
Yeah.
So we're just going to start here, like way back at the beginning. Obviously you've accomplished a lot, but we will start back on July 24th, 1994, when a baby girl was added to the Lalonde household in Stittsville, Ontario. What was life like for young Kenzie growing up in the Ontario town named after founder Jackson Stitt?
Whoa, I didn't know that. That was great info. I didn't know that that's how the little town was formed. Because, yeah, I mean, Stittsville is in a little suburban town on the west end of Ottawa. So it was Farmville when my parents first moved there and raised my brother and I. So it was nothing. And now it's blown up and it's just suburb city. But growing up, yeah, active household. I have a brother who's 3 years older than me, and he got into hockey really early, and then I just wanted to be like him, you know, that classic story when you have an older brother for the most part. So we've just, yeah, he's been shooting pucks and I wanted to be there, and I got, had skates on my feet the moment I could walk. So my dad saw the urge in me, and it was pretty much just history was there. I pretty much did everything he did. I'd go to the rink where he went to the rink. He'd come to my games, and it kind of just flourished. I mean, it's great that my town of Stittsville and that West End when I was growing up, and I'd get to about, I guess I would have been like 10 years old. And, you know, the women's hockey program for minor hockey was pretty well developed there. So I was able to buy Adams, what is that, under nine now, I switched over to girls hockey, and my development didn't hinder in any way, and I met so many great girls. So I'm lucky that I came from a generation where like the women's program was well developed at that time. I didn't have to go through the boys system for very long. I was able to really flourish with the girls program. So I'm like really grateful of coming from a community where that was accessible. Because I mean, Jen, I don't know about you, but did you play boys at all?
No, I played ringette for a few years, and then I started just in Adam playing girls hockey. I don't even know what age Adam is now.
I know, I think it's under nine. I don't know, it's hard, those terms. It's so, it's still hard.
Yeah, no, definitely. I had never played boys though, but I kind of wish I did in a sense, just to have that experience. But
yeah, it's funny, the guys I played with when I was younger, I mean, we were in school together, we went to high school together, so we're still like, some of my guys I played with when I was just like a little kid, we're still friends to this day. So, you know, you'd get some like teen yearbooks and stuff like that. It's fun to flip through and like see guys that, you know, we walked across the stage in high school together, and we were once like D partners. So it's funny to look back on, but I'm just so grateful that I had so many opportunities. And you know, the Provincial Women's Hockey League is well-established organization in Ontario for developing strong female players. So I was lucky to be a part of that system. And, you know, so my grade 12 year, like girls were committing to Harvard and Quinnipiac and Cornell. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what I want my next phase to look like, because I didn't know if I wanted to keep playing or not. I didn't know, you know, I was really questioning my relationship with the game. And so that was a big turning point when I think of like my relationship with the game. It was an opportunity for me to take control of what I wanted my next phase to be.
I mean, you mentioned the PWHL and you kind of found your way into it with the Ottawa Lady Sens, obviously playing, you know, high level hockey there, but you were coached by former NHL defenseman Luke Richardson. What was that experience like? And what's it like playing in the PWHL for those that, you know, obviously out in Manitoba, we have a good league, but it's a little bit different than the PWHL for sure.
Yeah. And when I went to university, that was my first taste of really understanding what other girls' programs were like when they grew up. I didn't understand how grateful I was because, yeah, like you said, like Luke Richardson, holy moly, when you want to talk about like an impact guy, someone that grew up wearing that Ottawa Senators jersey and had played in the league for so many years. It was awesome. He'd bring some of his buddies that he used to play professional with and they'd come help coach us. And he was just a really grounded, level-headed coach. He wasn't hot-headed. He wouldn't lose his temper in opportunities where, you know, coaches that I'm sure we've all had in our past would technically lose their mind. He wasn't like that. He was so calm, cool, collected. You know, we had like little perks. We would get a chance to go check out the Sens dressing room, like even recovery drinks. I think he maybe like steal those from the Sens. I don't know, but we'd get like these nice little recovery. We called them potions, but they were really nice electrolyte energized drinks. And that team was just amazing. He fostered an environment where everyone wanted to buy in. We had such good leadership. I was also in my last year. So the girls that I had been playing with at that point had already been in the Provincial Women's Hockey League for a couple of years. So I was definitely a senior coming in as more of a rookie, essentially. So I had a bit of a learning curve when it came to the speed of that league. And it's such a great league. But again, we were an Ottawa-based team. So you're thinking in the Provincial Women's Hockey League. So there's teams in Windsor, you know, you got to travel to. So every weekend we were in Toronto. So, you know, you had to be okay with that. Your parents had to be okay with that. And so, you know, my teachers knew in high school, like, yeah, Friday, she's not coming in. We know she's on the road. So that was, you know, it's a 4-day school week for me. So you have to be a responsible student. And that league's incredible. I mean, the Toronto Arrows is such a well-established program. Brampton's getting really good. Mississauga. There's just so many teams, and there's such a good filtration for these girls to then get looks, and the access you have to tournaments is really well-established as well. So I'm really grateful to come out of that program because, you know, when I went to university, there was girls that went away to private schools. When they're 15, they're leaving the house. And I couldn't imagine leaving the house at 15 to go get a better, you know, education, but also hockey program. I couldn't imagine making that decision at such a young age. So I'm just so grateful that I came from an area. I didn't have to leave my own backyard. You know, there's a program in Ottawa and there's one in Nepean now. So beyond grateful, guys.
That's awesome.
So you talked obviously a little bit about playing, you know, high school hockey with the Huskies. So in 2009, 2010, you guys finished fourth in the province, but you noted in a couple of interviews that your love for hockey was waning as you felt you were missing out on the social part of high school life. At that time, how close were you to calling it quits as a hockey player, like in high school?
Yeah, it's funny you say high school. I forgot that that's when we went to OHA, OFSA.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, you know, you grow up. It's really pushed nowadays to be a multi-sport athlete. And I grew up playing soccer. There was other things that interested me, but you know, you get into grade 7, 8 and it's all hockey, right? A lot of those other interests get shut down because there's an opportunity to spend more time to get better. And as I got older and I started to get into those higher grades and social life, you know, you want to spend time with your boyfriend, you start to value other things in your life. And I was sick and tired of every weekend having to go to the rink. And I was really struggling with trying to figure out, like, what do I like? Do I like the sport or do I like the camaraderie of my friendships? And it was high school hockey. And also the year I played high school hockey, I also played for this Kanata Rangers team. I didn't make a top midget triple A team and I was devastated. And it was the first time I had ever been cut, but it taught me that, okay, the reason I'm so hurt and so upset is because I don't get to continue playing with the friends that I've developed since Adam. Like I noticed I was more distraught with not continuing those friendships than getting a chance to play at a midget triple A league. So that taught me a lot of things. So I got a chance to play high school hockey and do other things that I don't usually get to do when I play that elite level. So it taught me a lot. And so when I came to grade 12 and I had to decide, you know, am I going to write my SATs? Am I going to go to the States or am I going to not play? That was definitely a decision. I was considering St. FX as just a business student and not even looking at athletics. At the last minute, I heard of Mount Allison and I noticed that I could get a balance of social life and athletics. And it was the best decision I ever made because I got those two things and it kind of led to my career as well. I got a chance to do some TV stuff. So I'm glad I listened to my gut and I made a decision that was the right fit for me. And to this day, I think I'm still trying to figure out my relationship with the game and I work in it professionally. So it's a constant battle because, you know, we both know hockey's given us so much and we're so grateful. But at the end of the day, the lessons you learn in that sport is what carries on. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to have that realization at a scary age when you know, you're kind of forced to make some tough calls. I'm glad I listened to my gut.
Well, speaking of listening to your gut, it was actually, well, partly somebody else that kind of led you to that decision as well, I guess, because you had a goaltender on the team named Caroline. And I'm assuming that it was her sister, a student teacher by the name of Andrea Switalski,
yeah,
who gave you some good advice by telling you to check out Mount Allison University, where she had attended. Obviously, I mean, you made the right decision. You went to Mount Allison. Things went over really well there. You accomplished a ton. So I got to ask you, because we always ask every player who comes on here, every person who comes on here, were you approached? Were there other schools who came to you and said, we want you to play for them? Or was Mount Allison the first and only choice for you?
No. So yeah, it's funny you talk of Caroline. That was the 1 year I actually got to play high school hockey. When I went into the Provincial Women's Hockey League program in the Midget Triple A League, they didn't let you play high school hockey. So that was the only I actually got to play. And it was super fun. And Caroline's older sister, yeah, Andrea. So at the time, Caroline and I were teammates. Her sister would have been at Mount Allison at the time.
Right.
I'm so grateful for her. She was my student teacher and she introduced me to that school. But yeah, I mean, So like I said, I mean, St. FX was a school I was looking at to just be a regular student. I had also been speaking with the coach. I approached him to see if I'd be interested in joining that program because I did have two teammates on my provincial women's team that were committed to go there. So I was like, hey, why not be the trio? Let's see if I also want to play with them. But so yeah, St. FX was an option. Also Plattsburgh. It's a SUNY state university in New York. Yeah. Middlebury is a private school as well down there. Those were two schools I had gone on recruiting trips for. And Mount Allison was one where I contacted them. I reached out to the head coach at the time, Zach Ball, and I emailed him. I said, hey, an alumni had reached out to me speaking of your program and everything. And then him and I got on a phone call and he wasn't able to come out and check me out or anything, but former athletic director and a man who's really well involved with the women's program, Jack Drover, was actually living in Ottawa. So I guess Zach phoned him up and said, hey, do you mind go checking out a girl? She's interested in our program. And he came to a practice, first of all, and all practice, I'm like, is he here? Is he not here? Like, I didn't even know what he looked like. And then practice ended and I didn't see him at all. And so I'm coming out of the locker room and then I see him come over. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I didn't see this man at all throughout this practice. And he comes over and he's like, Mackenzie, the first thing he says to me is like, Mackenzie, do you like hockey or do you love it? I just remember looking at him. I'm like, oh, I love it. And he's like, great. You'll fit in great at Mount Allison. And like, that was it. That was the conversation. Oh, wow. I asked him, I said, so where were you during that practice? And he's like, oh, did you know that like your teammate, Cassie Sharp, her two parents are Mount Allison graduates? So he's like, I've been shooting with them the whole practice. I honestly, like, what number were you out there? I'm like, what? Okay, sure. So I don't even know if he knew what I looked like on the ice at that point. I'm sure he did his due diligence. I'm sure he watched, but like, it was hilarious. And so I had no idea. One of my teammates' parents were Mountie grads and she played volleyball. The dad played football. So I got to know the school a little bit more after speaking with them. And it was the best. It was too funny because I had never been to the East Coast before. So it was just very strange how it all happened. But again, I'm glad I trusted my gut and did it.
So then 2012, I guess, the year after that, you started at Mount Allison with the Mounties. So before we start going through your career highlights, which there is quite a few of, we always share the spotlight with the people who got you to where you are. So who are your roommates in your rookie season?
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, there's more to the story, I guess. I had gone to Mount Allison with a good friend of mine named Shelby Colton. She was also someone who was in our Ottawa program, didn't know what she wanted to do next. And her coach during her grade 12 year was Andrea Satolsky. Andrea Satolsky was my student teacher. So Andrea like two-timed us and told both of us about the school. And so Shelby and I were chatting and together we chose to go check out the recruiting trip. And so it was nice to kind of have a partnership in it, to go to the East Coast with someone who I knew. So I kind of had a best friend since the get-go to go there and we're still friends. She's still my roommate to this day. We both live in Halifax. So we're really close. So I'm so grateful to have been on that journey with her from our Ottawa days to putting on the Mountie jersey and finishing our careers together. And, you know, I'm also really grateful for my dad and like my parents. My dad really pushed me to be the best. And looking back, I'm so grateful. You know, he would work nights and wake up and make sure to come to my games despite being exhausted before he'd leave for work. He made sure I had, you know, the proper gear I needed, any, you know, good nutrition. I'm so grateful for him. And when he trusted me to make this decision on my own, because it was getting to a point where, you know, he'd suggest a school and I'd be like, I don't want to do it. I don't know. You know, I'd have a freak out. He was very patient with me. And I'm very grateful that he allowed me to make that decision on my own to where I wanted to call home for the next 5 years. And he was great for that. But again, Jack Drover introduced me to the school. Shelby was there since day one. And she was awesome in my first year. We also met some local Halifax kids like Sarah Gagne. We were kind of like a trio in our first year. We met her in a nearby res. And so we kind of rided the whole Mount A career together. So it's crazy to look back and like think of all the people that helped me get to where I am, because that chapter was huge, right? Like your university yeah. days are so impactful when you're a women's hockey player or a female athlete. You know, you either got the Olympics, you got your university days, and that's it. So we really cherish those times more than maybe your next athlete, right?
Do you want to go through a little trivia then? Find out exactly what you know about your own career?
Oh, God. Okay.
Friday, November 12th, 2012. Why is that night special?
Friday, November 12th. My first game?
No. Your first game was in October.
Oh, okay. My first point?
It was your first point. Do you recall the night? Do you recall the what happened?
I don't know.
Say no. You can say no if you want. That's fine. A lot of players don't know. So your first university point was a primary assist on Shelby Colton's goal at 8:36 of the first period in a 4-1 loss to Moncton.
Oh my God. That is so cool. Aw, I'm gonna have to tell her that.
So there you go. So there's your first point in your illustrious university career. Mm.
Yeah, I remember my first year being rocky too. Like I didn't start every game. It was the second half of that year I finally found my footing. Crazy.
I think, yeah, so that first season was just a little bit, got off to a bit of a rocky start. Mount Allison opened up the campaign going 0-5-2, being outscored 26-6 in those 7 games. So your first win in university hockey came on November 16th, 2012, when you beat Dalhousie 2-1. Nice. What's the atmosphere like around the team and for yourself as the Mounties had a rough start to the season?
Well, Jenna, we struggled a lot.
I've been there.
But when I think of that first year, our leadership was amazing. Lauren Oikle was our captain. And she's, you know, when you meet someone, you're like, you're a goddess. Like, I just want to beat you one day. That's how I viewed Lauren Oikle. Like, she was so cool. I just wanted to be her. She was in a Bachelor of Commerce. I was in a Bachelor of Commerce. So I really looked up to her, and she was a really good leader. I think our goaltender was Megan. She was amazing as well. And I remember the room was really light. What was interesting is the leaders were really natural players and playmakers and scorers. Like growing up, I think when I think of our locker room mindsets, when we were down a goal going into a period, it was tense. Like you didn't want to say the wrong thing. Everyone pretty much just like shut up and did their own thing. And so when I got to the Mount A locker room between periods, everyone was like fooling around and like dancing and singing. And I'm like, guys, like we're losing. What's, you know, it was weird mental shift, but it was nice to be in an environment where it's not the end of the world that we're down by a goal. We'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Sometimes we did. Sometimes we didn't. We did not. But it was nice to finally be a part of a locker room between intermissions where it was okay. You know, you could breathe. And I really appreciated that about like the leaders that really fostered that environment.
And the next piece of trivia, the next big moment, Sunday, December 2nd, 2012, you crossed two things off your bucket list. You remember what happened that afternoon?
Maybe I got a goal.
The last game of the first half of the season for you as well.
I really hope I got a goal, guys.
Not only did you get a goal, you also scored a specific type of goal.
Oh, a power play goal?
That was a power play goal. You scored at 15:30 of the third period from Samantha Bujold in a 5-2 win over Dalhousie. Do you know who you beat for your first goal?
Ooh.
Dalhousie should give it away, no?
Who was the goalie?
Former Sacred Heart High School teammate Maddie Barrett.
Maddie Barrett. Oh, I forgot she played in our league.
She did, and you beat her for your very first goal. So there you go. Little Stittsville tie-in right there.
Your research is unreal. This is so
I'm not gonna take any credit for that. But yeah, he knows every single little detail. So we're gonna move on to the next little bit here. 2012-2013 saw a very unfortunate set of circumstances, that is a hard word to say today, happened to the Dalhousie Tigers as the entire second half of the season was forfeited when Dalhousie suspended their women's hockey program over allegations of hazing. What was your reaction as an opponent when you hear that Dalhousie program won't be participating in the second half of the season?
Yeah, I remember that was pretty crazy. That was the first of its kind that I had ever heard of, or I remember like our team when we think of just program history for the most part, especially in women's sports. I remember that was pretty groundbreaking. I mean, it was too bad because I think that only left us with 5 other teams or something like that. And as you can look at that record there, we actually could beat them. So it was tough to take on an opponent where we actually found success. Yeah, it was weird. And I mean, so this day, I'd love to maybe chat with some of the girls that would have been a part of that. I would have loved to like learn the inside scoop of it, but it was disappointing for sure. It's always tough to see a program have to take a step back for reasons like that. Yeah, I'd love to learn the inside scoop on what really happened there. I always forget about that.
You're actually talking to a show that did the research on that and talked to people from that side. So Isabel Germain, you may know her very well. She does some of the games out there. Isabel was part of that team. She was actually the captain, I believe, of Dalhousie at that point. And we talked to her. She's actually still talks to us today about AUS hockey.
She's amazing.
She said it was a little overblown, that basically it was teammates having fun and people kind of took it the wrong way and things got blown out of proportion and it didn't go well. And they had to basically fight to get the program put back into place. So,
And now they have Tro Ryan as their head coach.
Exactly. Dalhousie's turned it around entirely. So your rookie campaign saw you score 2 goals, add 2 helpers. Do you recall, not that you have to recall it, but do you recall against who the other goal was scored?
What team I scored against?
Yeah, or when?
Was it St. FX?
No, it was Moncton again. So February 10th, 2013, you scored at 17:03 of the first period in a 3-2 win against Moncton. You beat goaltender Jenna Van Bellois.
Wow, this is so fun.
There you go.
Like reliving the moment, you know?
Yeah, it's just so weird to think I played. I don't know. It's just so strange because I'm in the world every single day and it's just, you know, it's funny to think back that, oh yeah, that was me at one point.
Your rookie campaign goals basically came at the end of the first half of the season, end of the second half of the season. Like you waited till like the last possible moments to score your goals.
Like, hey coach, yeah, I'm still here, man.
So 2013-2014 season, you go goalless, recording just 3 assists that season, but the Mounties kind of rope-a-dope the AUS in that campaign as you guys lost your last 5 games, 4 by shutouts to finish the season 10-14-0. So you finish in 5th place in the AUS. First round matchup that year was against St. Thomas Tommies, who were 12-2-10. They were hosting the CIS championship that year. You guys go and win 2 games to sweep them out of the playoffs, rally to beat St. FX after losing game 1, and then almost shock the world before losing in game 3 to, I think it was Moncton. Yes, Moncton. Mm-hmm. Forcing them that game with a 3-2 overtime win in game 2 after being down 2-0. How crazy was that season for you guys? It seems a little.
Oh my God. Crazy. It was crazy. It was so much fun. And the second half of that season, we were on strike as a university, so we were living the high life, guys. Yeah. We would just
go
play hockey, come home, and maybe party. It was it yielded results. It was crazy. It was also fun because the men's football program was also having their first run for, I think it would have been the UTEC Bowl at the time. So it was neat to see both programs really succeeding in the same year, and we got a lot of support from everyone at the university. And yeah, it was like shocking at times. You know, there's moments where I think we surprised ourselves, but Lindsay James getting that goal against St. FX to send us to the AUS final against Moncton. To this day, I'll never forget her scoring that goal. And the team was so awesome. You know, Lindsay, Kristen Coos, who is our captain, like it was such a fun run. And Zach Baller, head coach, like everyone loved him, respected him. He knew how to rally us together and fight for something. And it's nice to bring success to your coach. I mean, he's been with the program for so long. It was nice to go that far with him. And, you know, it was just really, it was so much fun. But again, it sucked to lose. It was funny because I was putting together like a highlight reel for Sportsnet. They wanted to see some clippings of some of my games and I didn't have anything. So I had to contact our athletic director and he sent me some footage from the game we won at home against Moncton to head to game 3 and just seeing the crowd and that goal scored. I think it would have been, I forget who scored. I think it was Megan Entwistle who scored it.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Seeing the environment to relive that moment. It was so, so cool. And it's crazy to think I was a part of it. We just had such a great team and good environment.
You didn't slow down though. You guys sort of turned that crazy season, or at least you did anyway, into a pretty impressive 2014-2015. You became a sniper. You scored 11 goals, added 3 assists that season. You were named MVP of the team. So things were going pretty well. But you also accomplished one other bucket list moment. Do you recall what happened on November 15th, 2014, Miss MVP?
Did I get a hat trick?
You didn't.
Damn it. I don't even think I ever got one.
It was a specific type of goal.
A one-timer?
No. I don't think the stat sheet would show that.
Yeah.
It's the only other type of goal you can score.
Shorthanded?
No, you didn't score any shorties in your career.
Damn it. Okay, I don't know.
You had that was your very first game winner.
Oh, cool.
You scored at 11:17 of the third period on the power play from Kelly Matarazzo to beat St. Mary's goalie Justine McIntosh for the 4-3 victory.
My girl.
We love her. That's so cool. Yeah, Toba, well, Kelly, well, Matarazzo. Yeah. Yeah. She was mine and Shelby Centerman for quite a few years. She is just this energizer bunny. Jenna and I are obsessed with her. She's nicknamed Toba because she's from Manitoba.
Originally, when I was going through the stats and going through the information for you, Kenzie, I'm not going to lie. I hadn't included any of the assist people on there just because. But then I saw Kelly was on that assist and it was like a key goal. I was like, oh, got to go back and add them all in now. So
can't leave Kelly out. And then you can't leave
him out. Exactly. Come on. That's the whole idea. So, yeah.
Yeah, that year was like crazy. I really fell and I've got into a good rhythm with my slap shot. And so we were able to really orchestrate the power play around just like releasing from the top end. And I got a lot of success off that and found some goals.
A few of them, not 11 of them. That was good.
Yeah. 11. I was going to say you went from no goals and then 11.
That's yeah.
Big step there. No, that's happening. So the 2015-2016 season was a bit of an interesting year as you captained the Mount Allison Mounties. You scored 8 goals with 6 assists, and you graduated with your bachelor's degree in commerce. Obviously, getting your degree is like a huge moment. I'm still working to that point. But all right. How much thought went into coming back for your 5th and final year with the Mounties? And did it take any convincing, or was it more of a I'm just going to go do it kind of deal?
Yeah, it definitely was a calculated decision. I was able to finish my degree in 4 years. So financially, it didn't make sense to come back because if I returned, it would mean I'd have to take out a student loan. So, you know, when you have that conversation with your parents and they're like, you're going to do what now? You're going to go back to school when you already have your degree and take out a student loan to do it. Like it was... not a very parental friendly conversation, but at that point, I just knew I wasn't done yet. I wasn't done with developing my friendships. I wasn't done hanging up my skates yet. I didn't want to say goodbye to Sackville, and I was considering doing my MBA. And so I would have had to upgrade a few of my courses to do so. So that was kind of the trajectory I was on. I could justify it that way to take out a student loan to upgrade some of my courses and just kind of relax and have some fun in my last year. And that allowed me to, well, it essentially allowed me to volunteer at Eastlink. So very grateful for that decision, but it was a hard one. Yeah. And that's what's nice about Canadian University Hockey, right? You get 5 years of eligibility. I couldn't imagine doing it in 4. It's challenging. It's a hard course load.
Congratulations on the degree, first of all, because I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, you know, for anybody. So congratulations on that. I got to ask though, because obviously you came back 2016, 2017, so you come back for year number 5, you were captain again. Things didn't go so well on the ice for the Mounties. 4-19-1 was your final record that year. So not a lot of post-game celebrations for wins, but a few. Despite the down year for the Mounties, though, again, you mentioned it. You use it wisely. You began volunteering at Eastlink, but you were also doing YouTube videos for Mount Allison's social media accounts. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned in previous interviews that you were going to possibly do an MBA in sports management or marketing. So, I mean, what... you sort of made the left turn and went into broadcasting. What made you sort of want to get back in front of the camera or continue doing more in front of the camera?
It was always a little kid dream of mine. I always thought it was so cool to see like Holly Horton and these chicks on TSN in the mornings talking sports. I always thought that was so cool and didn't think much of it. So did the responsible thing, got a business degree because, you know, I had also considered, do I want to study this? You know, Ryerson, was that something I wanted to do? So that was definitely a conversation with myself in grade 12, but, you know, found I could do a Bachelor of Commerce. And then my phase 2 for me was maybe an MBA or a master's in sports management, and I could do front office stuff. But the taste for actually, you know, leaving the corporate world behind and looking into television was, like you said, hosting those YouTube interviews for my athletics department. It was funny. The Herald is not the Herald, Sackville Tribune. I don't know the name of the local paper in Sackville. A writer interviewed me asking, you know, what's next? It's your last year, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I thought it was off the record, but I guess it wasn't. I said, well, because I knew him. I think his name was Brad. I was like, well, Brad, you know, my little kid dream is like be on TSN one day, right? And we were like, shooting the shit, whatever. Anyway, so he like wrote that in the paper saying she'll probably do an MBA, but the little girl inside of her would always love to like be on TSN one day. Anyway, so that's how the news broke. And so my athletic director called me one day and said, hey, I read this article. Like, is that, are you serious? Like, is that actually something you think you'd be interested in? And we were kind of chatting and I said, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you'd start or what, how that works. And he said, you know, well, we're looking to, you know, broaden our online engagement with student athletes and we want to help tell these stories. Maybe this could be a starting point for you. You can rent a camera from our tech department and just interview the players. I mean, you already know them. You have good relationships with them. And that was kind of it. That was like my first taste of like interviewing someone and they're still online to this day, guys. And like, it's kind of embarrassing. Like there's one where I interview my mom and Shelby's mom. Like they come up to watch our last game. And so I thought it'd be so funny to do an interview with them. Anyways, that's still online somewhere. So I should probably contact PR Arsenal and ask him to take that down. But that was my first taste of it. And then I found out just in Amherst, Nova Scotia, right next door to Sackville, there was an Eastlake television studio. And I found out they do sports broadcasts for Nova Scotia high school sports in the AUS. And so I volunteered with them to get a taste of what it would be like professionally. And from there, I was kind of hooked. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. You know, it was so fun. And I just loved showcasing the personalities of athletes. I think that was what interested me from the get-go, like Cabby Richards, Cabby Presents, like when he used to do those old school interviews back on the days on like The Score. Yeah. I just thought it was so fun. And that's what kind of hooked me initially.
I have another trivia question coming your way. in your 115 games, you scored 24 goals and added 17 helpers. Do you recall goal number 24, your last university marker?
Oh, was that, I think I do. Was that at St. Effects with like 30 seconds left?
You are so good. Yeah. So 19:31 of the third period and a 7-3 loss. Not great. That's all right. To St. Effects on Sunday, February 12th. You were the last Mountie to score that season when you beat Ariana Orasanen.
Wow. Yeah, I do remember that goal because I was going to pass it to Kara and I didn't. I ended up just circling around and just going backhand wrap around. And then the second I scored it, I just remember bawling. Like I started crying immediately. It was so weird. And then I remember just hugging my defenseman at the time. I'm pretty sure it was Rhiannon Ford. And now Rhiannon's my roommate. So it's just like, sometimes I see her and I'm like, I cried into your arms on my last game. He was like a rookie that year.
Yeah, those last games are always, they bring out a lot more than you think. I think you realize, but
like we refused to take our gear off. We were like in the St. Effects locker room forever. And like our coach was like, you got to get on the bus, guys. Like we need to get back to Sackville. And we're all just bawling and crying. We're like, we're not ready. So we boarded the bus in our gear, like our top half. We like refused to take it off. So we got back to Sackville and still had like our shoulder pads on, our jerseys on. And we stank up that bus, let me tell you.
Those tears must have contained something good though, because Rhiannon went on to be captain of the Mounties as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, which is amazing. I'm so proud of her. And like now that we're roommates, it's just like a full circle moment.
That's awesome.
So, what do you recall most fondly from your 5 years with the Mounties and everything you went through with that program? I know that's kind of a hard question because there's so many memories and so many things that obviously have made you into like the person you are now, but what do you recall most fondly from your 5 years with the Mounties?
Oh, man. you know, when you're getting ready before practice, those moments, or when you're taping your stick before a game, stuff like that, walking to the rink, meal hall after first year when you have like 20-minute window before they close meal hall and you have to get dinner in and it's everything's cold, moments like that.
Yes.
And also partying, like the hockey girls could freaking party, guys. We were known as like the woo girls. You've ever seen How I Met Your Mother? So I definitely miss like our bangers. It was just a good group of girls every year. And it was always fun. It'd be a different dynamic. You didn't know what was in store for next year. So as you can tell, again, a lot of my memories aren't so much on the ice. They're off the ice. But that's what's so great about sports, right? Is building that camaraderie.
Your final season with the Mounties, which I think is kind of cool. CIS rebranded as U Sports, which I don't know if people are aware of how quickly and how recent it was, but certainly U Sports came about in, I guess, in 2016, 2017. That was an organization you'd go and work for after leaving Mount Allison. What role did you serve at U Sports?
Yeah, so U Sports, yeah, as you said, rebranded, and I got there right after that year launch. I was their social media host, so we were speaking about there was a role opening for it to be a column writer. A lot of universities have U Sport contributors where they'll do articles for U Sports on behalf of their university. So I had kind of been applying for that, but in our conversation, I kind of expressed that A, I have no writing experience. B, I have interviewing and more on air experience. And so I had been speaking with one of the communications guys, and he came up with this idea. Well, they're looking to bring more personality and a different edge to their social media now that they're rebranding. So he came up with this great idea of putting a face behind the social media and going to the live championships and covering interviews and doing post-game interviews. And so I got to be that person, and I got a chance to go to the Vanier Cup for them for 2 years. The basketball championships in Ottawa, which luckily I was there for the Panda game, which is a huge Ottawa-UConn new rivalry. And then I headed out here as well for the men's finally basketball championship in Halifax. So that was kind of nice. And yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't full time. It was just event based. And I served at the keg on the side of that and just made ends meet and tried to claw at any other opportunities I can. But it was so fun. You know, I was only like a year removed of my U Sports days. So I had been there, and it was so fun to, you know, interview the players and the parents. Oh my goodness. Like at Vanier Cup, I was up in the stands and interviewing parents and finding players, grandparents and cousins, and chatting with them. And that was just so fun to catch their raw emotions. And even alumni, I think that's what's great, is people forget about how strong people are about their alma mater, and they love to, you know, alumni love to come back around and show their support and reminisce on the days. And you know, you gotta love if someone comes up and said, hey, tell me about your university day. So guys' faces would light up, and I really enjoyed those conversations, and it was great to learn more about, you know, the great U Sports history. It's such a rich Canadian sport history, and not a lot of people know it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more that goes on even behind the scenes or just team to team that people I don't think really understand how big it actually is. Clearly, you left an impression in 2017 on EastLink through that experience and your work with the U Sports. So EastLink offered you a position in 2019 to come and work with them. You had stated in previous interviews that it was basically a now or never kind of offer. Was there any of the hesitation in going back to EastLink or not knowing what we know now? Was this the offer that you had been seeking when it came to broadcasting?
It was a dream opportunity, definitely, because at the time I was still doing some U Sports stuff. I was working at the Ottawa Sens games, part of their promotion team, and I was serving. So I had a lot of gigs on the go waiting for like a moment that could allow me to do sports broadcasting or sports media full time. So it was so strange. I got a phone call after almost like 2 years from Brett Smith, who's the director there. He's still my director. And he's like, is this Mackenzie? And I'm like, yeah, man. Hey, like, how are you? Anyway, so it was a role of a lifetime, but there's definitely some hesitation. I mean, I had about a 3-week window to pick up my life and move to Halifax and start a job in TV full time. And I hadn't even done like a live production game before. And so when I first moved to Halifax, the current host of their live sporting productions was leaving to go to Japan to do a gig for pro wrestling. So I had 2 weeks to learn everything I could about live sport production, the teams, because we do the QMJHL, we do high school sports, we do the National Basketball League of Canada. We were also doing junior A hockey. So I had about 5 live sporting productions that I had to get ready for in 2-week time frame, on top of like moving to a new city. And like, I was moving with 2 girls that I didn't know. And it was just a huge learning curve. But I found my footing, and I'm really grateful that Brett and the whole team trusted some random girl to smile and try the whole TV thing. And I think that speaks to the power of community television. We're lucky we can take those chances. You know, we don't have sponsorship dollars behind a lot of our stuff. So it's okay if it doesn't go squeaky clean sometimes, but I was really proud of myself and it continued to progress. And within 2 months, I was the full-time in-stadium host for the Halifax Mooseheads. So it just continued to grow and Brett kept throwing things my way and I would do good at it. And so he just kept testing me. And I've kind of tackled almost everything I can right now with Eastlink and our live sporting productions. But let me tell you, like, even like an IFB, I didn't even know how that worked. Like, it was so... it's just so weird to look back on those days. And I didn't even know my way around the building, like the Scotiabank Center, the arena. It was just, holy moly. It was a lot to come into from just being in Ottawa.
I mean, we'll talk about the next big moment in a second. Jen, you got to skedaddle, though. You got another meeting to come up.
Yeah,
up right away,
best group projects in online school, my profs do. So I need
Jenna,
to jump.
So fun.
I know. Well, thank you so much for chatting quick. I'm going to jump off and not waste any more of your guys' time here because there's still a lot to go over. But thank you so much.
Thanks, John. It was so nice to meet you via voice.
I've heard a lot about
you. You need to come to the East Coast.
Oh, I'll be there soon. Whenever I can travel safely.
Okay. We'll see you then.
All right. See you guys later.
See you, Jen. Yeah, so we still got a lot to go over because you got a pretty big opportunity that came up. Obviously, Kenzie, that put you on the national sort of spotlight a little bit. You're hosting a community spotlight show for Eastlink. You're involved in QMJHL broadcast. You're interviewing all sorts of people, including Patrick Waugh on the Remparts bench. Don't think we didn't see that photo. things are going well for you, I would say. And then March 2021 comes along and news breaks that one Kenzie Lalonde will be the first woman to call a QMJHL game when Charlottetown meets Halifax on March 14th. Give us the details. How did that come about? How did you get the push, we'll say,
to
jump into the broadcast chair?
Yeah, well, I'll correct you. I'm the first female to do it on television.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Has been someone who has been doing it for a while on radio, and she's amazing. I love her. She's some Randa. But yeah, so I mean, it was kind of a bittersweet opportunity. Our full-time play-by-play voice, Kevin Northup, chose to move on and move back home and be a father full time. So there was a vacancy in terms of being the voice of our live sporting production. So myself and Mavs Gillis, my colleague, had, you know, we came together and we approached Brett and we told him we want to tag team this. We want to finish off the season, our voices, our coverage, and you know, they said, yeah, let's do it. And so that meant I would get a chance to call my first Quebec Major Junior game. So it's funny. I was able to publicly let everyone know I could do the game and it was happening on International Women's Day, which I think was, you know, great. And it was nice that lined up because at that time, everyone was eager to, you know, hear more about what women are doing, especially in sports media. And so I had a chance to tell my story and I had, I guess, 6 days to prepare for the game on top of like my current duties, because as you mentioned, I do host a community show for our channel. So I had to make sure I filmed that show ahead of time. And also the intermission pieces, I'm also responsible for that. So I had to get my interviews done. So it wasn't until about like Thursday, Friday, and the game was on Sunday that I really got to dedicate my full time to preparing for the game. And I had done commentary before. I was the first female to call a junior A game on television a year prior. And I had called other sports. So, you know, calling a game wasn't new to me, but the teams and the league and the level of production that we provide when it comes to our Q broadcast, that was all new. So it was hard. I pretty much studied, Kevin's call from past games. I mean, it was nice that Charlottetown, Cape Breton, and Halifax had just been playing each other for the past couple months. So it was easy to just turn on an old game and try and review it and learn the names and numbers. And my color commentator, Logan Delaney, is hilarious. I love him. We have such a good friendship. So it made it really, really easy. I was immediately comfortable when I knew the opportunity was going to present itself because him and I are such good friends and he really helped me out. If I'd got a little quiet, he'd chime in. And if, you know, I had made a few mistakes. I mean, right off the friggin' bat of the game, they changed the goaltenders for Halifax and said they put it down that Gravel was starting and then Brady James ended up being in the net. So we're listing off starting goalies and I'm just listing off all these Gravel stats. And I can see Logan looking at me like, are you not looking at the monitor? Like, it's the wrong, you got the wrong guy. So I had the wrong guy for my first game, but hey, shit happens. And I learned that pretty early. So it was an incredible experience. And the night before, I was super, super nervous. Saturday night, the nerves were at an all-time high. I couldn't figure out. I had kind of two sets of notes and I didn't know which ones I wanted to go with. And I got an unexpected phone call from Leah Hextall. So of all women to understand what it's like to go into a game where you feel like you have the weight of your gender on your shoulders, it's her, because she was the first woman to call a National Hockey League game. So it was so cool to hear from her. She talked me down off that ledge and she just gave me so much support. And as I'm trying to fall asleep later that night, Chris Cuthbert made some mention on the Leafs broadcast. So I was trying to fall asleep and then my phone was blowing up and it was crazy. It was, the night before was very, very chaotic.
I will say, we talked about it on our show here, obviously. And I mean, again, it sounded fantastic. So don't think you did terribly in any way, shape or form. We have a woman who does broadcasts here for us for Bison women's hockey. And I mean, Kylie Palmer is a former player as well. She was super nervous like you were first getting into it. I mean, and she kills it now as well. She's full-time in terms of doing Bison women's hockey until she says stop. Are we going to see more Kenzie Lalonde on QMJHL TV broadcasts?
Yeah, I think that's what's nice about my story is that this wasn't just a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
I'm the full-time play-by-play voice for the Halifax Mooseheads now, so I'll be in that chair every game moving forward until, I don't know, till I swear or something. I'm not sure.
That's so, all right.
Yeah.
That's nice. Fantastic news. Congratulations on that. Because yeah. I mean, again, you know, having seen Leah and knowing Leah out here in Manitoba for sure, huge, huge step, obviously, you know, and I hate to say it this way because it's 2021, but huge step, obviously, for, you know, women in terms of getting into that broadcast booth. But secondly, I mean, you guys are doing like you know, all the women and Botterill on Sportsnet, everybody is doing such a great job in terms of who they are and what they're doing. So keep it up. I mean, by all means, I am 100% behind that because you guys bring such a different perspective to the game than just the same old, it's a dude's perspective all the time. So
yeah, I think it's nice. I mean, everyone is going to bring a different perspective. The female perspective might bring up things that a male won't, right. But I think what's also nice is, you know, we're showing that there's different roles and with female sports in sports media. Like I said, I grew up watching Holly Horton on the anchor desk, but that was it. You didn't see a female voice behind a game. You didn't see an analyst. The last thing people wanted, and still some people don't want it, they don't want to hear a female opinion. They don't care what you have to say. They will take a former male athlete's opinion and take that at face value. But you know, we're still fighting for spots where, you know, fans, viewers, and likewise media want to hear our opinion. So it's great to see that females are finding spots in our career where our opinions are wanted and excited to be heard. And so I think the role of play by play, you know, you're such an anchor for the whole broadcast production. So to trust a woman to do it's great. And hopefully we'll just see more of it because, you know, it can be done. It should be done. And it's exciting that it's happening at the major junior level right now here in Quebec.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, you guys are knocking it out of the park. So, I mean, by all means, for as long as you want to do it, keep doing it. Because unless you get promoted. I mean, if there's an NHL job, I mean, that's the next step, right? So a couple minutes left. We got a few fun questions. If you want to sort of go through some softball questions and have a couple of laughs. Yeah. I don't know if people are aware of this. You wore number 16 with Mount Allison, and it was because of one NHL player not named Brett Hall. Who was your inspiration for wearing number 16?
It was Brian McGrattan, who has been a fighter. I think he ended his career with Ottawa. Maybe it was Calgary, but he was a fighter.
Yeah,
I fell in love with him as a Senator. He had a mohawk. He was a grinder out there. I think he has a book now. He's a pretty incredible story, but I was head over heels obsessed with him. So that's why I wear number 16.
He's also a former guest on our show. So
no way.
Yeah. We had a chance to talk to Gratz during Frosh Week, actually, because of his whole sobriety and how he's been sober for so long and how he went through that whole thing. And he gave an outstanding interview. So, I mean, great guy, super good, you know, for a guy, you know, who may not get the spotlight on him a lot, wearing number 16 because of him is a good choice, I would say. So congratulations on that as well.
Wow,
great guy.
That interview.
What's a game day meal for you when you were playing?
when I was playing. Yeah. Well, we ate a lot of Subway on the road, so okay. I'll give you my Subway order. It was a foot long turkey breast on flatbread, and yes, I could eat the full thing. It all was right. great.
There
I
you put go. On all
cheese except for onions. I didn't want onion breath on game day.
Okay, that's fair. Nothing wrong with that. What team? What team did you hate playing against the most?
Ooh. I mean, it varied as years went on, but I mean, St. FX was always a challenge. Moncton, I mean, as years progressed, just because of that rivalry, because we lost, that was challenging. And when I think of playing and what it was like on the ice, UPEI was the most frustrating team to play against because they were just like brown nosers. They were everywhere. You couldn't get them off your back. They were like a leech. So they were always a frustrating team to play.
When people greet you for the first time or meet you for the first time, do you prefer McKenzie or do you prefer Kenzie?
That's great that you asked that. I typically introduce myself as McKenzie. I mean, in the professional scene, I mean, nowadays I'll go as Kenzie. But when I say Kenzie, or in the past when I say Kenzie, people are like, oh, nice to meet you, Kelsey. I'm like, no, it's not Kelsey. It's Kenzie. So if I say McKenzie, people usually get it right.
I was going to say, it's weird that people don't listen to that, but you would think that's a kind of a key important piece of information there. But in trying to get ready for this interview, I was, again, scoured the internet looking for all sorts of facts and figures and information. It's weird that in more pictures than not on your Instagram, there's a landing in a house that seems to appear in almost every second picture. You guys took more pictures on this landing that came down from stairs upstairs. Where exactly is this fabled landing? And why was it so key to every photo you guys were in?
It had the best lighting. That was in, so the house we lived in at university, we called it the castle.
Okay.
It was a three-story townhouse, and it was like the newest spot in the block when we think of Sackville. So everyone called it the castle because it was huge. And anyway, so yeah, that was the stairs between the main floor and the basement, that main landing. And we definitely had a hell of a photo shoot there over the years.
There was definitely a few photos there. So I was like, oh, they've got a spot. That's awesome. Last question for you before we let you get out of here. Obviously, you're not going to take up all of your night, but had a great career, had an incredible hockey career. Obviously, you made a little history in the broadcast world. I mean, being that you're still young, you're still, you know, just 26, you got a ton of chapters to write still. There's lots to go. What's the one thing on your broadcast bucket list that you hope to cross off before you sign off for one last time?
Oh, geez. I would love to call a Team Canada game. That would just be unbelievably amazing. I would have to say that, but I mean, I think it'd be bittersweet to call like an Ottawa Senators game. I think especially in the Canadian, or I don't even know what it's called now. It might be the Scotiabank Center, in the rink where like my dreams first started when I think of playing and skating on a professional ice surface. So a Team Canada game calling a Marie Flip Plant goal, that would be incredible, or a Saranders goal, and an Ottawa Senators game where they play the Leafs and win.
I'll give you if they win, that would be, I mean, they look good. They're in a couple of years, they're going to be a powerhouse, I think. So
the kids are all right.
They are very good. I mean, they keep beating the Jets, so good for them. Looking at everything that's gone on, I'll give you the soapbox here. You can promote anything you want. You can say anything you want. You can give any advice you want. Any last words you have before we let you get out of here?
Oh, no. I mean, it was just so nice to meet you guys. And it's nice to kind of connect across our nation. I just I can't wait to hopefully follow Toba and come visit Winnipeg eventually one of these days. But yeah, I just appreciate you guys for chatting and sharing the stories. And you guys are great storytellers. So I appreciate you guys.
We have a good time. Hopefully have a good time with everybody on here. And certainly this was a good time. If you do come out, and I will say this, if you do come out, Kenzie, there is a spot in the broadcast booth for Bison Women's Hockey for you. So we will open up a spot. I will gladly give up my spot for a seasoned professional like yourself. If you want to come out and call a period or two for doing have a little fun that way anyway, in terms of come to see the Bison's play. But by all means, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And certainly I know Jenna obviously said that she couldn't thank you enough either. So together we are super grateful and we can't thank you enough for the time tonight. It was awesome.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to hold you to that offer.
There is Kenzie Lalonde, a phenomenal broadcaster with Eastlink Communications out in Halifax. Keep your eye on her, folks. She is going to be around for a long, long time. likely going to have a lot more opportunities with her skill set for sure. I do want to thank Kenzie Lalonde on behalf of myself and Jenna for coming on tonight and give us a little bit of her time as well. Certainly a great and fun interview there. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Stay tuned. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. Thanks for listening to The Hockey Show. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one.
At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. It's all right, it's all right. I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.